Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me a secret. I don't want to know about just any secret of yours. I want to know about that one special secret. Because tonight, I want to learn about all the secrets in your garden. I want to read your mind, know your deepest feelings. Wanna make it right for you, baby. Show me, let me share the mystery. Oh,
come on.
Listen to your heart tonight.
We could sing together. I've got the secret key to you, baby. Let's make music, harmonizing ecstasy.
I want to feel
go.
I'll be there for you.
I want us to take our time with this. Because we've got
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate y'all putting up with the technical difficulties that have been going on around here. Part of those technical difficulties have been my inexperience with dealing with these boards. But I would like to first of all go off and thank my big brother for real for floating me along for as far as he has until now. I'm going to go ahead and see if I can go ahead and get this in from here for real. Thanks a lot, big bro. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Epiphany. This is the For Real Network. My name is Jared. I might be short a person tonight. I think we got somebody that's on the line that's going to go ahead and help out with the fill-in. But what we're going to be talking about is, when is it enough? When is it time to call a relationship quits? I think this is something that poets should have very dear to their heart as far as being in touch with the feelings and emotions that go on around that. You know, a lot of the poetry that we write about, it comes from inside of us. And if we haven't dealt with heartbreak or holding on for too long, then we really haven't lived. And from everything I've been hearing from the poets are very familiar with it. As a matter of fact, when we dig in, sometimes we find that that's how they got their beginning, their start with poetry, by writing about heartbreak, about writing about holding on to the ideal of what somebody else had already lost. And when I say somebody had already lost it, I mean they may have had that same idea that we had and somebody came and took it away from them. Unfortunately, a lot of times we pick up bad habits from bad things that happen to us. I guess it could be a part of the brain that says, it worked for that person. And that person seems to be better because of it. I think what's good for the goose is also good for the gander. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about when is enough enough. And when is it time to go ahead and cut those ties? We got somebody hand raised here, 860752.
Yes, Jared, it's me, Mama Donna.
Mama Donna, how you doing, Mel?
Well, Mel, I thought you got to give out my whole phone number. I was like, what the heck?
I ain't going to dox you.
Okay. I know.
Hey, Mama Donna, I know you don't know
it,
nothing about. I know you call some people that could. I got you. I've seen the movie before.
Okay, good. As long as you understand.
Right. I know that you've never held on to a relationship for too long, or when you found out what was the right time to call quits. But if you could.
I held on to it. It was still dead, buried, and re-dug up and held and buried it again. So, yeah, I know all about that.
So it was just a hand sticking out the ground and you just held on to it?
And I had to grab him back out again, thinking I could revive it.
All right.
Nope, you can't.
All right. I'm going to have you rocking with me tonight, if you don't mind. I'm waiting on that sister to go ahead and show up to me.
Well, you know, I'll stay here until whatever you need me, and if it takes the whole show, then it takes the whole show.
All right. So you said you have done this. When did you find out that I should have called quits long ago? Or what's the thing that triggers it that you go in and say, like, yep, it's time to call it quits?
Well, for me, it's a gradual buildup. It's not something that's one thing or a small thing or a big thing. Is that when I stop communicating, I know I'm coming to the end of a relationship. To educate you, make you understand, or trying to get you to acknowledge what I'm feeling or thinking or whatever, and I'm not getting anywhere, and I finally decide, hey, what I'm saying is going in one ear, not the other. There's no change. There's no nothing that you want to work on this. Sometimes it's a feeling.
Right.
You just feel it. That person's not a part of your relationship anymore. You might be trying to hold on, but they're gone. They might physically come around you, but they're gone already.
Right.
At some point in time, Y'all just became habits to each other.
And that's a terrible feeling, too. I've been in that situation where the tippy-toeing or you're just leading two totally different lives and probably still sharing the bed the whole nine and occasionally all the rest of that stuff. That stuff is, like, really nasty to me, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel good either.
No, it don't, you know. And especially if you get to a point in a relationship that if that person touches you, you're cringing. Oh, you need to leave. You should have been left. It's time to go.
Yeah, you way past time. You should have been out of there.
You missed way
I've been
past
in
your
that
time,
point.
You know. You know, so, yeah, to say I've never been there, yeah, I've been there. You know, and I said that's why I'm single now. I said because I don't ever want to experience that kind of feeling again. Because at some point in time, I saw something that was valuable in you, that I loved you. But now I'm at this point that I don't even want you touching me. I don't even want to be in your presence.
Yeah, I call that the walking on eggshells.
Right. I don't, it's not that I hate that person. It's just that for me, I find no value in them anymore.
You
know, I find no respect for them anymore.
That's a line, too, when you physically repulsed by a person, you know, that they touch you or something like that. That's a line, too, as far as, like, where does possibly hate even start coming into that equation, you know? Because you're already physically repulsed by a person.
Right, but I don't even think of so much as hate. It's disdain is more the word.
Right.
You've grown a disdain for somebody, because if you have somebody that's constantly lying to you or playing in your face, gaslighting you, playing with your intelligence, after a while you get up there and say, you know, you start putting up all kind of walls and you start looking at this person through different lenses. And I look at it through a lens of disdain, because I don't like nobody playing with my intelligence.
No.
I mean,
especially when they go on for the same play that you've seen 1,000 times.
Right. If you're going to do your dirt, do your dirt. Be man enough to do your dirt. What I don't like is somebody's doing their dirt and then lie to me in my face.
Right.
And I mean, that's the same thing that goes for a woman. If you're not going to be faithful to a man, then leave that man alone. And if you can't leave that man alone, don't play in his face. Just say who you are and do what you do.
You know what? Because I had learned from a woman on you know, doggish ways. Because I had this in my mind, this picture perfect way of people should be with one another. And when I got with her, and I was young, I was about 14 years old, and I was doing things that were supposed to be textbook classic on how you were supposed to be with a woman. And she was being this way.
And how old was this girl, Jared? How old was this girl?
I think she might have been like 16. I think she had a couple of years on me, but that's like dog years when we talk about women.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. At 14, you're not even mature enough to understand what a relationship is. So at 14, you don't let this 16-year-old girl shape your relationships with women for a while. You know, because you know
she
what?
Did.
Women are a little bit more mature. No, she ain't taking advantage, because anything over 3 years, then that'd be taken advantage of. Well,
I said damage.
So y'all was not
advantage.
Taking advantage.
I said damage.
you're trying to label her.
No, I'm not.
Because
you got your nose. Now, see, you being so petty, your speaker ain't let you speak. You still with me?
I'm done.
Yeah. There you go. You back. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, because it was getting pretty bad there, but I could take it.
I think sometimes what women talk.
Uh-oh. See, what women talk about should not be talked about apparently tonight. You have to find you a good, happy spot, Mama Donna. There you go. I hear you again.
Oh, phone over. So hopefully it'll stay over here. You can still hear me?
I can still hear you. Probably have to take your hands off the telephone. A lot of times with the signal be that weak and it's right on the border, you take your hands off the telephone and do better.
I put it down. I let it go. Is that better?
Just let it go. That sounds much better.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we're going to dig into this. Has that portion
what about you? But what about you? And you asked the question, what about you? When did you know when it's time to let it go?
When I would hold on to things to the point where when people would start hating me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm hating them. Whenever hate get involved, I know it's been going on for too long.
See, I've always been that type of person. I want to be able to have some kind of a friendly relationship, even though we're no longer together. And I don't mean the intimate ones, just that when I see you, you can be able to say hi, and I can be able to say hi to you. I just don't like ending relationships where somebody can't speak to me.
Yeah. And you know what? I've learned, and it could be my personality type, too, that but when it starts heading down that road, you know, it's best just to go ahead and, you know, let it be what it's going to be. A lot of times when I go ahead and just be like, let it go ahead and be what it's going to be, the ship will go ahead and right itself on its own. And I really don't know until, you know, things have been good for a certain period of time. That's when I know that you know, the ship had righted itself. It's because it's not nothing you know immediately, because the person could be still doing the same stuff they were doing that was hindering the relationship. And I've also accepted that sometimes my personality type doesn't go well with the person that I would desire to be with. And that was like one of the biggest things I had to go ahead and learn. It's like sometimes you can have beer money and champagne taste. Or you can have champagne money and you got beer taste. Mama Donna dropped out. All right. I think I see a familiar number in here. I ain't going to call no names or nothing like that. But tonight we're talking about when is enough? When is it enough? And also, when do you decide to give up on a relationship? Like I was talking about, as far as myself went, I had found out the hard way. I guess we all found out the hard way on when that time could possibly be, but when to go ahead and give up on a relationship. All right, hold on a second. We got a couple of hands up. I'm probably going to bring in both of these hands at the same time. Let me see this first hand. What's going on with this first hand?
Hello? Happy Saturday, partner.
What's going on with you?
I said, look, I sent you on Instagram because I had hit you on your cell phone and a text message on your messenger on Facebook and was like, hey, you were looking at the messages. But I'm here. And listen,
well, I'm glad
Mama
you might call in there. If you had called in the very beginning, you probably wouldn't even have stayed on the line. I was having problems with the boards. The boards went blank on me.
You know, sometimes technology, I always say that smartphones and slow people. it might not even have been the boards. It might have been you. But even if it was the boards and not you, the reality is we didn't got it together. And I'm here.
All right. Presto, chango, poof. Let me go ahead and get this other hand that's stretched up in there with this thing we get going. But I got some questions to ask you too, young lady. Don't you go nowhere.
All right.
Who is this?
All right, I'm back.
Who are you?
Mama,
you back.
Dina,
you know who I am. I was just talking to him a little while ago.
He played too much. Mama, don't you disregard him. See, sometimes you have to just, you know what they love. He knew.
You already know. Just you think because he's at a distance that somebody can't reach out and touch him, but that's okay.
He's so extra. But you know what the wonderful thing about his extra is? That's me. I'm the balance. So he actually is a storm, and I'm
your
a storm.
Extra and my extra, huh?
Isn't that a hot mess? That
gonna
part.
Make a boom.
That part. Big noise.
lots
How you doing,
Mama
Donna? I was listening to y'all. I was like, oh, my God. Me and my daughter was just talking about this.
Well, that's good, though. That you can just jump in on the conversation.
Right.
What have you done?
Jared said he had a question for me. I'm going to let him ask this question because I don't want to be rude. I'm trying to let him do his thing.
Yeah, we don't have to really let him. Just go ahead and jump on in.
I tried to
just
help.
Just the constant beating of the host.
Oh, yeah.
Clean up.
You know, Jared, you know I love you like
what's that?
Cancer. I know you
love
me like
that. You can't
I'm
love
or hate that. Sad that you're here. Sad that I got you, but I'm glad when you leave. So that's all right.
It's all good. So, Gina, the question is, when is it enough? And then the second part to that question is, why do you give up? When do you give up on the relationship? But when is it enough?
So it's enough when I start telling other people about it. Like when I'm just internalizing it and dealing with it by my dammy, that's on me. I signed up for this. I'm going to ride it out. But when I start thinking, this is some bullshit. Let me run it by somebody. Let me see if it's just me. Sometimes it be me. You know, like for real. Like, I can't think it's all right. I ain't always do. Sometimes
now, you don't run into no echo chamber and say, like, is it just that person?
No. So I got like three people that I know is not going to lie or bullshit me. So I asked them, look, is it just me? Or is this fucked up? I'm like, oh, that's fucked up. Oh, word. I thought it was. And I'm not trying to second guess my damn self, but for real, that you co-sign this, let's be dope. Okay, this is a wrap. So this is what we're going to do. You're going to come to my house, and we're going to do us. And then this motherfucker going to come in from work, and he don't live here no more. And it was like, his furniture going to move, possibly. You know, violence is my go-to. So I'm telling you this in advance because I need you to save them from me, not the other way around.
Right, and save you in the process, too.
No, I don't get... I'm at the point where I'm done. So if I'm done...
I'm talking about to save you from going to jail.
I'm just going to... I will go. I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to get police courtesy. I'm going to be cool. It's whatever. I can't go and I don't have my phone or my purse. But as soon as y'all say it's time for me to go, I'm out. Like, I have never spent 48 hours in jail. And I probably should be in prison right now. So I'm just
saying,
the way my life is set up and the way things have worked out for me, it's going to work out. I'm not worried about it. So I'm going to do what I need to do.
The word about is not this. I got you.
Yeah, I don't worry for what. Because why? I'm not about to be incarcerated. I might not be able to go home right now, but I'm going to the crib. Okay, I might be homeless because I beat everybody up at my house and I can't go back there. But what's the devil? When I'm done, it's a wrap. And when I know it, it's like when it's in my gut, but I'm not saying nothing. And by the time I start telling people, I've already started packing. You understand what I'm saying? So there are steps in place here.
I understand that because you know why? When I get to that point that I'm done, I have already filled off that room in my mind.
Nothing else to do.
And ain't nothing else to do. There's nothing you can stand there and say to me.
Mom,
I don't want to see
you
a crocodile tears.
You've done everything. It's just run its course. And you know it. And when you know it, you know it.
You know?
So you
and
need to move
know
around.
It,
either they going to leave or you going to leave. Or somebody going to leave. And that's that.
And if they don't know what
they're
going to know.
They probably going to stalk you. I don't know how it works for other women, but I can't just break up with nobody. They stalk me. And then so we get through the stalking phase, whether or not I have to, you know, involve the people or there's paperwork involved, depends on, you know, the level of stalking that you show me, because I done been there, done that. I done been stalking.
Whoa, whoa.
So I know
we talking
work.
About stalking.
I done broke up.
We using the S word.
I'm going to say it with my chest. They were stalking me. And all I was trying to do was be free. I'm not trying to hold on to you. I don't want nothing that you was doing for me. We don't have to talk after this. Like, there would be no trace, no remembrance. Of the fact that I was with you, because I'm done. Like, I'm done. Like, you died the day we broke up. As far as I'm concerned.
High hold trigger.
And people be like, oh my God, Gina, you were so mean.
Gina,
I'm not mean, I'm honest. I don't know how to hold on.
Gina,
all I know
I
how
have
to
a question for
on.
You. Gina.
Yeah.
Question. Talk because they wasn't ready to end the relationship and they thought that they had the power and it was all up to them.
That's cute. So the way I'm set up, I've always been told that I'm spoiled. How? I don't know. By whom? Don't care. But what I do know is this. You're not going to talk to me in any kind of way. I'm not going to be feeling some type of way while I'm with you. And me and my daughter were having this conversation. This is the conversation I wanted to have with y'all prior to me even calling into the show because she had left to go to the store for me. She was like, Mom, I told her, I said, I am Craig. And his parents, because I ain't got nothing to match. I got cereal, no milk. I got peanut butter, no jelly. No jelly. I got a whole situation that don't match. But what I am going to do is make it work and feed these kids right now, and then we're going to figure out the rest later.
Now, that's the math.
But the math is, you know, you don't know what you're going to do, but you know you're going to do something. You have to do something.
It's a difference from what you're doing.
If you continue to accept the thing that you're going through, it will continue. The only person that can stop that for you is you. So we would simply be like,
right.
What? I don't want to kill
y'all
you.
Y'all had a spirit of discussion.
So I'm going to break up with you. Save you from me, because I know somebody going to die if we don't break up. So I'm going to go. But I need you to also go. And I don't mean just go. I mean go quietly away into some good night. Do not text me. Don't call me. Don't follow me on Instagram. Don't tweet me. Don't snap or chat me. Do not hit me in my DMs or my messenger. Because I'm not just going to block you. I'm going to block you and everybody that we were tethered to. Because you know how you'd be like, you have 147 friends with this person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm petty enough to go down the list and block them too. I'm not fucking with you. I'm on. We can't retrace this. I can't chew cabbage twice. It's a wrap. Like, I'm done.
That's how
I
have
those. I'm just being honest. So I need you to know that when I say, ooh, I need everything I can do, I can't do this no more. It's a wrap. Because before I even say that, I've already been making the necessary steps to make that a possibility. And by the time you connect the dots, it's too late. I'm done with you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. That's nothing further to say. I said everything that needs to be said. I'm going to say less. Bye-bye. And I will involve the people and I will get paperwork if need be. But I'm hoping that you just go away. And if you don't, that's okay. We can take it wherever you need to go. Yay. So I.
So what would you do again?
I would say. Like I said, I think I answered the question sufficiently. I don't play those games. When it's a rap, it's a rap. When I know, I know. And as soon as I know, other people gonna know. And when I start putting other people in our shit, oh, it's we're done. Don't even. You ain't gotta question it. Because I didn't involve the outside party.
Gina. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, you kind of went off on a tangent there.
I'm sorry. I just know me. And I hope
Gina. Gina and Jared. I have a suggestion.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Jared, not so much you because you're a married man, so you all right. But, Gina, the next time you get in a relationship, make sure they can't read. That way they can't follow you and DM you and message you and all that other kind of stuff. You're safer that way. They can't stop.
I thought I'd mess with people that can read. Illiterate. Yeah, they got to be able to read. Like, I can't.
No, no. See, I don't like all that text, so I ain't have to worry about it. You didn't have to text me. He ain't got to me. He ain't got to slide into my DM.
Just call me.
He couldn't do nothing because he couldn't read
it. Out.
Well,
right.
If I wanted to cheat, I could have had anybody DM me. He wouldn't have known the difference.
I'm going to end up by myself. I'm going to end up getting a cat and a dog. I'm about to use some pets. Look, you're going crazy. You say less. No. But I will say this.
I'm just saying. That's the safest way to stop them from cyberbullying you. Is just get them. They can't read. They can't do none of that stuff.
I love.
Yeah, I got me.
And sometimes it don't work out. When it doesn't work out, you just have to move forward.
I've been looking for guys up with
you don't
women that can't read. I'm like, hey, man, but get that one right there. She can't read. She's going to be on Facebook. No,
you know what? That's terrible. No.
She ain't gonna scandalize you. None of that stuff, man.
But I will say this.
She's pretty, too.
I know
she's
me.
Pretty.
And I can only be the people that I feel like I don't have to dumb myself down for. Jared, on the other hand, will take anybody with a pole. So we're different. But Mama knows the truth. No. I don't want
to
conversation
down. If you just
want
to stop those people, if you ever just want to stop somebody from cyberbullying you, find somebody that don't know how to read, and it'll be nice and easy. Easy peasy, nice and easy.
And this
the only thing about
heard.
It is the education system is really just starting to really break down.
The funniest thing I've heard in a long time. I love it. No, for real.
This is just
Jared,
the beginning for
Mama,
us with the education system breaking down with a good prime people.
You
get out there, they can't read.
Right now.
They're coming up the street
yes.
side, they start
you got,
a
you look,
it.
You got to look where the
That's
brighter side is.
That's the winner right
you
there.
You got to look for the brighter side. You know what? I can't get a man that reads because he'll be cyberbullying me, so I got to find one that can't read, and hey, hopefully we'll live happily ever after.
There we go.
Because somebody can't text me. He don't have to worry about trying to sneak in my phone and trying to see who's texting me and trying to get in contact. He can't read, so what the hell?
We went backwards
instead of
forwards. Okay.
I highly recommend it. It works out well.
Well, I'm supporting literacy.
I'm just going to say it one more again. I'll be by myself before I do that.
If these
and
are
that's
options.
Why I'm by myself.
Look, at, I can't.
What you, oh, you can't find a man that can't read. I got you.
I probably can, but I'm not trying to. So what I'm going to do is this. Be by myself.
Look, Gina.
Guess what?
All the other
people
are trying.
Just ask me, do I love
me?
I know I do.
Gina, all the other parts work fine. You just can't read.
Uh-uh.
That's all.
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
No, ma'am. She's
gorgeous,
I'm not going to be able to do it.
She's gorgeous.
I'm going to tell you why. Because he's going to always feel inferior.
If y'all
just try
to have children,
me.
Y'all going to have beautiful children. Y'all going to have a daddy.
Oh, no. Not only do I not have an affinity for people. I'm not saying that I don't like people, but the reality is this.
You
I
have
cannot,
said it, though.
Yes, because it's true. I cannot dumb my conversation down so that you can keep up because you can't read. And that's terrible. I love words. And I know a lot of good words.
You can't play
words
with friends with them. That's the show.
To make your head hurt. You understand what I'm saying?
That you just
want to
be
like
a champion out of this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's play Jeopardy. Words with friends. Word blitz. Any word game that I play, let's play. Because I need
let's
you to understand and appreciate one thing for certain, two things for
okay,
I'm
not
playing
with
you.
I see your okay, Gina. I see your point, so that's not alternative
yes,
for
ma'am.
You.
No, you don't.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah. And so I'd be so mad. I'd be so mad because even when they can read, right, and are literate, they're still so stuck on stupid that I feel like I'm doing the most, wearing myself out and putting myself in harm's way. So all I can actually say is this. I'm being quiet because if I say something, it wouldn't be nice. So I'm not gonna say.
Oh, why stop now?
Hey, look,
you know,
I was being good.
You love this subject matter. She came in hot, ready, prepared.
High hole triggered.
Hey, look. Yep, she came hot and prepared. She was ready for this question.
That was that energy right there, though. I love that, man.
It's so funny because I just asked Jared this about 2 days ago. Am I mean? And he was like, what you mean? Ooh, the fact that you questioned my question with a question lets me know I am mean. Okay, so since I'm mean.
No, they don't mean that to me. Somebody outspoken and know who they want and how they are and what they are about, that doesn't make you mean. To other people, that makes you mean. But to you, that just makes you you.
I'm going to say this in my defense, Mama, because I'm saying this to him because I feel like, you know, one, he's my friend. He understands me. He gets me. He's going to tell me the truth. And then, hold on, he says I'm mean. Look.
I didn't
expect that to be his answer. But the reality is, it's not so much that I'm mean as the fact that I'm honest. And people are so put off by honesty.
No. You can be put off by being mean, too. Because I've seen you do mean girls.
Let me own it.
Oh, my goodness. That's what I'm saying, because I own it, too.
Right.
That's the case I'm mean.
Right.
Oh, you are mean.
I'm
let's get that out the way now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Even if I am mean, I'm not mean maliciously. But if
not
your feelings got hurt. No. If your feelings got hurt,
he said
it wasn't because you disregarded your feelings. I didn't take them into consideration. I was doing me. So now you are hurt because in the process of doing you, I've injured. I can apologize for that, but I can't take responsibility for it because it wasn't how I made you feel. It was how I made you feel and how you reacted.
Gina, I'm going to say this. You are not responsible for how somebody receives a message that you give them. They are responsible for their own feelings.
Because I don't care. Does that make you mean?
Yeah.
No, you're not responsible for that because you know what? If you can't tell that person your truth,
I'm telling you the truth,
without them
truth with you.
If you can't tell that person the truth without them feeling like their feelings are hurt and they're trying to make you responsible for their feelings being hurt, that's all on them. You're not responsible for their feelings. When you put their feelings in consideration outside of what you need to do as to tell your truth, then they have manipulated you. They have gaslighted you. The bottom line is this. If you're telling somebody what you think and you feel and you need them to understand where you're coming from and they try to give you that puppy dog look and, oh, you're hurting my feelings, they're trying to change the subject and they're trying to get you off track. And they're trying to make you feel bad.
I would use the term gaslighting all the time but not effectively know what it meant. But you told it to me like I was two. So I got you. And here's the thing. I didn't know I was being gaslighted, but I'm going to tell you what I don't do. I don't gaslight. I'm going to tell you the absolute truth. Your feelings might be hurt. You might be mad. I mean, it's whatever.
That's okay.
I'm still going to sleep good tonight.
Might be it.
I ate good today.
Because,
I'm not saying I don't care. I'm just saying.
It's like with apologies. People think you apologize for that other person. You apologize for yourself. You don't apologize for nobody else. You apologize for yourself. And once you release that apology, it's up to that person whether they accept it or not. And if they don't accept it, that's nothing on you because you have released it. And once it's released from you, it's no longer your issue.
I know how to let
go.
And that was the whole conversation because I think that Jared thought that I was so busy being violent that I wasn't understanding the fact that sometimes it's me. No, for real. Sometimes it's me. But it's so rare that I have to look back over all my previous relationships. I was telling my daughter how I went to a wedding with my plus one. I thought we were in a relationship. However, he was in a situationship. I was in a relationship. So when he left me prior to dinner being served at the reception, I was so deep in my feelings that I actually left. I took my heels off, put on my flip-flops, and walked home. So I was like a block and a half from the crib. And said, "Is the wedding's over?" I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "The reception?" "No, I just started." "Why are you home?" I said, "I got set at the children's table." And I don't know if y'all know the math on this, but I ran a daycare and taught preschool for 23 years. This was during said time. So I take care of kids for a living. What makes you think on a possibility how this could even, how you could fathom this, that my first cousin got married and I'm going to be at her wedding reception sitting with the kids? I'm going to go to the house. I can't do this. So
I understand that because
she didn't even understand the math. She was like, "I was going to take Jenny home. Where's she at?" My cousin said, "Probably halfway home. She took her seducers and left." I couldn't do that. I mean, I know that it probably wasn't your fault. And somebody else might have done the seating chart, but we're first cousins. You got married. I'm there because I love you. You sit me with children. This is what I do for a living, girl.
Hey, honey, I'm gonna tell you something, Trina. You gave her grace because I wouldn't have never thought that. So maybe somebody else did a chart, and you know who he is. You had to go over your chart, and you gave her grace because I wouldn't have gave it to her. She knew your profession, and she knew she
was
the kid.
So I didn't realize I was giving
grace.
I was just doing me. Right. This wasn't even that never even occurred to me. But the reality was, my feelings were so hurt. It wasn't about.
I understand that.
Or I was. I felt like you didn't care enough about me to give me a break on the weekend. Because this is a Saturday. My child is in high school. You're getting married. In a posh.
So when is enough
situation.
On that?
And this is enough. No. This is where we got to. It's enough. My cousin didn't value my attendance at her wedding. Sat me with children, and this is what I do for a living. I felt some type of way.
Gotcha.
So I went home. I wasn't mad at her. We didn't stop being friends. But I wasn't going to say that reception because that didn't work out for me.
I see you still trying to get over that cold.
Do you need to take a sip of water?
Otherwise, whomever you're connected to, if they don't value you, you need to move around.
You do.
And I learned that a long
and
time.
And that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Do you need to take a sip of water, Gina? I see you got that cough still.
Oh, you know what? It's not just that I got that cough still. I have people in my house, and you know I don't be around people, and even though those people are my daughter and her children, one of them people that works outside. Even though she wears a mask, my immune system is not to be played with. So, yeah, I'm looking out for me. And thank you, Mama Donna.
Oh, yeah.
And I have water, and I opened it. But what I needed y'all to understand was I needed to vent because the situation I had just been discussing. And then I come on here, and this is what y'all talking about. I'm like, oh, I have so much to say. So I got it all out, and I appreciate y'all.
Yep.
Thank you.
No problem. I said you came in hot with that one, and that was good.
Oh,
so that subject
is
right on time.
I have been through some stuff that I felt like it wasn't due to me. How am I in this position? Oh, I forgot. Because I devalued me. I wasn't on the clearance rack. Did you try to act like I was on sale? I wasn't. I'm top shelf.
They tried to make you on sale. Sometimes I felt I was put in the thrift shop. You understand? I was put in the Salvation Army then.
So I'm going to see your downgrade and raise you one and say this, Mama. It's not what people think of you, but how you see yourself. Do you understand that there's times in my life that I didn't see myself realistically? So I'm mad at me for that. But I'm back.
All right. And that's what I was going to say
is that sometimes those feelings are not really what somebody tried to make you feel. It's what we already felt on the inside.
Right. Somebody else said it, and then we embraced it, and then that became us. But it's not.
Mm-hmm. I put it on like it was a big-ass cloak, and I wore it like I was a superhero.
Yes, ma'am. I love it here. Y'all are doing an excellent job. Thank you so much.
Are you not here? Where are you? I am here,
but you understand what I'm saying. When I called in, you and Mama Donna was holding it down, and now I'm here with y'all, and all I can say is, oh, God. Small house, small house, small house. Thank y'all.
I tell you what. Yes. I'm about to go ahead and play this drop right quick, and after this drop, we can go ahead and get back to the conversation.
All right, then.
All right.
Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, offering you quality, laced, poetically based shows 7 days a week. This is your poetry outlet, your universe for poetry. What you waiting for? The call-in number is 319-527-6300. Call in. Press 1 to be heard. Or just simply listen in. This is the For Real Entertainment Network.
Baby. This is Songbird, and you're listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Peace, blessings, and one love.
Whoo! For Real know how to do a reset, let me just tell y'all that. I got to learn everything I can from this man before it's all said and done. Hey, For Real, you are a genius, sir. All right. What are two people? What are two angry people? Where's the mob?
Why do you talk about yourself like that?
Oh, I thought my mic was muted. I apologize.
You know, Jared, you need to get your two personalities together, and then you'll be less angry.
Oh, now it's only two. Oh, man, this has been great, though. Gina, where are you?
Talking on mute. I'm sorry. I was mutating. It's not Monday night. It's Saturday, and I apologize.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
That's the only time that I can mutate, because Gina Storm mutates on Monday nights, in case y'all don't know this. So I've been missed Monday nights for over a year. But now I'm here, and I apologize.
You heard that drop that I played?
I missed most of it because I was actually doing something else.
Coughing? Man, that right there, that's one I hadn't heard on here. That's what I was asking if you had heard it.
By Songbird, right?
Look, I hear so many.
I don't think it's by the same Songbird. We know.
All I can say is, yay.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All of the drops are great. You know me. I'm like the queen of drops. I was doing drops when I didn't know what they were called.
Station identification.
You will be like, I'm going to record this.
Right.
Thank you for calling in to WGCI. 107.5 FM on your radio dial. We play the hits. And I was thinking, that's it? I was like, yeah. And then I got a check, and I was like, oh, say less. Look, I don't even care. Okay, let's do it. I will do drops for y'all. Oh, yeah. So it's always a good thing.
All right. Mama Donna, how has your knowledge of these two questions I had asked you earlier bled into your poetry, or has it bled into your poetry yet?
Okay.
It touched
when
my
is it
poetry.
Enough? I'm sorry, I'm just going to refresh you on it. When is it enough, and when do you give up on the relationship? And how have they started pressing on your poetry, or have they started pressing on your poetry?
It pressed on my poetry because I've talked about relationships that I've had in the past. But the latest one that I put a nail in the coffin was when he tried to vote for the bank account. He never used the bank account. Not the whole time we were together, the whole time we were married. He has never used the bank account. And I guess he got ill and he ended up on disability. And he forgot his name was on the bank account because he never used it. But instead of coming and talking to me, he tried to go to my bank account, knowing he never put no money in there. See, this is the downside to somebody not knowing how to read and understand stuff, and no matter how much you try to talk to them, they don't want to learn anything from you. So he got a letter. He got a letter, and whoever read it to him explained that Social Security was not going to be giving him his disability because he has a bank account that he never disclosed. So instead of calling me and asking me, and I can get his name removed off it, he decided he was going in all his brainiac ways, he was going to go down and go to my bank and withdraw almost $2,000. Without calling to ask me. Come on, he thought Social Security put the money in there. No, he didn't think that.
It's like a refrigerator. He know he ain't put no food in the refrigerator.
Just because Social Security knows about the bank, they just can't deposit money into a bank account willy-nilly to any bank account. So after that, I had to rush and hurry up and close that account and open up my account and transfer my money into that. And then after that, I just blocked them. And unfortunately, he's the first relationship that I've ever been where I just can't talk to him.
Right.
So
even if you would try to date, it would be bad.
Right. I had talked to him and I would see him and I showed concern for him, but he was one of those people that you can't show a concern for him because he tries it as a pitch, because he was that person that told me. And I wrote about this in one of my pieces. He told me, well, you know, I want to get back with you because I know you will take care of me. Nigga, what?
Oh.
You had a heart attack and shit. Now you know I'm going to take care of you.
Right. Not everybody got the best out to you. Want me to take the rag?
Oh, you know, you had a daughter on me, and this girlfriend this way, and this one. But you know I'm going to take care of you. I had to sit there and look at him for a minute. Like he was one of them. When you ever go into a museum, then you see a piece that you don't quite understand.
You turn your head
up and down and look at it. That's what I was doing when I looked at him. No, as appealing as you think that is,
did he get
me,
it?
It's not. No.
He didn't get it when you were looking at him that way. Like you must be crazy. You must have lost your damn mind.
Yeah. Oblivious. And
okay,
that's what I come to find out that
is
that when people, when you know that people only use you for the benefit of them and you're nowhere in the equation of trying to make someone happy, you make me happy, but I don't have to do anything to make you happy.
Right.
That's when you know it's
some over. People like black holes, too. You can throw as much as you want to in there. They ain't going to get enough. They don't keep on just wanting some more.
Well, that's when I come to find out that people have symbiotic relationships. They love the chaos, the confusion, and all the other kind of stuff that comes with the relationship. And they're more attracted to that than they are to the relationship. Because if you
they always know they didn't get a steady supply from their favorite person.
Right. They love it. I've seen a couple is always fighting, always arguing. And then the next day, and you see them, they're all lovey-dovey like nothing ever happened.
Mm-mm.
They're
my grudges don't work that way.
Mine don't either. I work with people. So when I come home, I want peace. I don't want arguments. And if I go out, I'm just going out to drink, dance, come home, go to sleep, and go to work, whatever. I don't want
none of that foolishness.
And especially the older you get, the less you want that in your life. I don't need the drama. So when I keep finding that you're bringing drama into my life and bringing arguments up to me and all these different things, and you're interrupting my peace, it's time for me to sever ties with you.
Because I be easy for you, or you just yank the Band-Aid off, or is it just something like, oh, well, I had this Band-Aid barely on here?
Or is it tough for you? It all depends on how new the relationship is or how old the relationship is. If it's somebody fairly new, it's easy for me to rip that Band-Aid off and just block his phone number and never hear from him again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've come up with some, I've heard some doozies and people trying to talk to you, and you just sit there and you just listen to them. Oh, I'm not a violent person, but, you know, this dude disrespected me. I just beat the shit out of him. Oh, no, you're not violent at all.
Mm-mm. Not by my standards, and definitely not by yours.
Oh, no. I don't want nobody disrespecting me or mine. Okay, now what do you consider to be disrespect?
Not saying my name right.
So now, right. So now I'm at the stage of that if I am going to talk to someone, I need to talk to them on the phone. I need to hear their conversations so I can get a better judge of who they are.
Right.
Because I believe that people put acts on in front of you. But when they're on the phone and you can't see them, or they're on a computer and they're typing, you don't know, because when they're typing and texting you, they can put anything they want to put in there because you can't see the emotion
mm-hmm.
behind the word. You understand? You
they can
can't
be
see
sitting
the
up there dressed in the old type of way, looking all crazy, and talking about they looking dapper.
Right. And you can't see the inflection or the tone in the writing. So I don't want you texting me. You know, I don't need no long letter. I need to hear your voice. I need to hear how your change in your tone and all that other kind of stuff. If you're challenged, if I challenge you on something, how do you react to that?
Right.
Mm. So I'm not into that long texting and all that stuff. I ain't got time for that.
So it seems like that you would be the first perfect person to be out there to find you somebody.
No, I don't think I am.
Because
you
understand how it's supposed to work.
I understand how it's supposed to work, but the thing is here, people will never understand my moods. My moods is I can be like I'm talking to you right now. And then after this, and I get off the phone, and I might, like, we're going to do the living room tomorrow. Okay, after I do that, I might not talk to anybody for 2 or 3 days because I just don't want to have that conversation.
Gotcha.
And I need somebody to give me that, be able to give me that space when I need it. And I think I'm always supposed to be on performing for you. Because if I can't be who I am in front of you, I'm performing.
And I'm glad you said it that way, too, because I think that's what we end up doing in the very beginning of relationships. We're actually performing. Even if it's our coolest stuff, you know, we're still in performance mode.
Yeah, because you're trying to put on your best nature. You're the best person that you think you can be. And then sometimes people try to lock you into a role and they don't allow you to expand and be yourself. And if you're a person like I am, I tend to, when I find that I come against a brick wall or somebody not allow me to be myself, I shrink back. And then I'll start building my bricks, and sooner or later we're going to be done. Because if I give you that space to grow, then I need you to allow me to have that space to grow. Don't put me in this box. Oh, you're a woman, you're a wife, you're a cook, you're a sex partner, you clean my clothes, you wash that, clean the house. No, I'm more than that.
Right.
I have brain cells, I have thought process.
I think that's what gets forgotten, too, because in the beginning, I know as far as guys go, guys break their necks to be in places, to do things, to be there before time and so on and so forth. And I think that's a part of the performance as well. I also think that, you know, over time, we start to get more and more relaxed with each other. And that right there, that baseline right there is the person that we really will be dealing with more and more than usual, even though it may have some peaks and some valleys in between there, as far as one extreme of crazy to the next.
Part of sometimes some of the problems is that people are going into relationships and not really going into friendships. You know, we
right.
have that initial spark. Oh, you have that initial spark, and you don't go beyond that. You know, you're not trying to build a friendship. You're not trying to have something that's lasting. You know, this is today's society to me feels like another reason why I want to be myself. It's this quick fix relationships. Oh, we got to have a quick relationship. We got to jump in, you know. Oh, I love you. You love me. Oh, yes, I love you too. 2 months later, let's move in together. Okay. Mm. And you're living a life and you don't know each other.
You know, that used to work back in the day. I'm talking about like way back in the day where people were meeting and like, well, how long have y'all been together? Y'all been together like 50 years. Oh, we were together for like 3 months and we've been here tired and all. So whatever it is, it'd be some extremely short amount of time that it took for them to go in tight or not. But now, I think with the way the world is and the way people are, you really have to vet people. If you go ahead and try to do something in three
you
or four
really
months,
do.
You're gonna have yours. You might have yourself a monster on your hands.
And you really do. I mean, and how do you vet them? Through a computer? They can put anything and put
yeah.
anything on a profile. Use anybody's, get some stock picture, put it up there, say this is them. You talking to them on a computer, and you thinking you falling for some guy. And I don't understand how somebody can fall for somebody by written words over a computer, and you don't really see them and talk to them.
Oh, okay. You have not done that before, you.
No,
you can't.
No,
it's the same way like with the telephone.
I don't like this here. I've been falling in love with nobody over no phone. I'm a visual
never?
Person. I have to see you. No, not talking to somebody over no phone. And I've never seen them and talked to them, just talking to them on the phone. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real thing.
I have
be
to
careful.
See the person.
It's out there.
I got to see the person. I know it's out there. That's why I don't do that online dating stuff. Because you know what?
Right.
How many women been killed over some online, or even some men been killed behind some woman he met online, and she set him up because she got a boyfriend at home. To set him up and rob him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or she killing him, he come in there and just go ahead and collect. Yeah.
This world is wicked out here with these computers and this internet and stuff. You don't know.
It is.
And how do you vet people? How do you vet people? Well, now I got to go online, put your name in, and check and make sure you ain't never been arrested and all this other kind of stuff.
I think people are so
selfish.
You didn't have
that technology.
You didn't. But I think people are so selfish now that you really do have to go ahead and vet them because, I mean, put it this way. A percentage of all these people are walking around out here narcissists in some type of way, trying to become noticed or an influencer or on some type of lines like that. And when you start getting a person who are narcissists and stuff like that, certain behavior qualities come along with them. And one of them is they don't want you to see exactly who they are. So I don't know what these I'd be hearing about what be going on as far as the dating world and stuff like that goes. I'd be like, at first I thought, you know, just people was trying to be braggadocious or trying to be too hard on one side or the other. Things screwed up out here. Things screwed up out here real bad.
Well, I mean, cause like, hey, you know, I'm older. So when I hear these things like men saying to women, what do you bring to the table? And I'm asking, what damn table are they talking about? Because I'm at my age, and any man I'm meeting, he's either going to be my age or a little bit older. So if he don't have a table by the time I met his ass, I don't know what he wants from me.
A table? That's it. Just
right.
A table.
So, you know, it's a mix up now with relationships, you know. I want my woman to work. Come home and cook and clean and wash the clothes and take care of the kids and
be traditional on top of
provide sex, provide for sex for me all the time that I want and give me my peace. Okay, where's her peace?
Women want peace too?
Women don't. No. According to men, we don't want peace because we're only put on this earth to give them peace. So as long as we provide a home for them and give them peace, then they're fine. Because we don't understand them.
I've been doing it all
wrong. That's right. For as long as I've been in relationships, I think I've been doing it all wrong, too. You know, because when you try to give that man peace, all he's doing is giving you his ass to kiss.
Right.
What's that all about?
You want a piece, here it is. Take off some ass. That's your piece.
Mm-hmm. What's that
where's,
all about?
Where's our co-pilot at, Gina? Why are you sitting pat on this?
I don't even know. Is she still on the line?
Mm-hmm. She's still on the line.
Is she mute?
I was on mute.
That's as soon as I said it?
No, that was me.
Okay. I was just waiting. Because it wouldn't be Gina if she wasn't on mute. She might be doing something. Because she said she was doing something before.
I was on mute. All right. But Gina, we'll catch up with you. We appreciate you coming in with you. We know that you've been in recovery and all that other type of jazz.
So, Jared, I have a question for you.
Oh, no. It don't work that way. I only ask questions around here.
Yeah, right. Do we have anybody in the queue that got any poetry they want to spit or anything?
What, you want to go ahead and spit a piece, Mama?
I didn't ask that. I asked you the question first.
No, I was about to go ahead and do a trifecta with me, you, and Gina.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But now we don't have Gina.
I don't know. She likes to do that poetry stuff now. She might go ahead and come around for that. Hint. I'm going to go get my old telephone. That's why I have my love poems and my heartbreaking, yeah. All right.
Now you make me wanna, now I got to go pull out a piece.
I tell you what, I am going to play another drop, and I'll go ahead and give us a couple of minutes.
And then you can go first. Thank you. I appreciate that. You're so good at that. Yep.
Oh, man.
I love how you try to do that, but thank you. Now you can go ahead and do that.
All right, this one's going to be that's going to be too short right there. I'm going to go ahead and run this ultra short, and then I'll run another one right behind that, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? This is your girl, Benita Applebaum, and you are listening to Epiphany Radio.
I love that one right there. All right. I'm going to go ahead and play a song right quick, Mom, because I got to go ahead and find my love poems. And then we're going
to
go ahead and get these poets.
Are
you sure about that, Mom?
I'm looking at
it. Go ahead,
play and it's kind of along the line of what we've just been discussing.
Well, I'll tell you what, then. With that being said, Mama D, the mic is yours.
This is titled, I Woke Up in an Explosion. Is this something we can fix? I ask this knowing the damn answer. Why am I begging to stay in a relationship that is detrimental to my sanity? The death knell has been struck years ago. Staying with someone who didn't value me? Isn't that insanity? Making me question my very existence? What is it about me that is unlovable? Your cheating has broken my spirit. Having me compare myself to others. Starting a one-way competition with someone I perceive to be better. What can she provide that I can't? All because you don't love or respect me. It seems I serve some kind of purpose. What am I doing? Scrambling to hold on to an emotional abuser. I sit here listening to you tell me we are done. Angry tears start to form. They fall, leaving tracks on my cheeks. I know this bitch isn't throwing this relationship away. After all I have endured, after all he put me through, you owe me. I've been loyal. This is how you repay me? What the fuck are you doing? My anger quickly rises to a boil. I blank out for what would feel like an eternity. I woke up in an explosion and found out that I can survive anything, even these detrimental feelings. Although there's destruction surrounding me, I survived the worst of what life had to throw at me. My emotions have shattered at the thought of you leaving me. This dream has turned into my reality. My violent reaction to your rejection is evidenced by the broken pieces of glass. The destruction of the room is total. Tattered paper strewn on the floor, reminiscent of my shattered heart. I stand there shaking with unbridled anger, trying to plan your murder. You can't believe my reaction. You have never seen this side of me. How did I allow you to take me to this point? I turn and walk away. Then midway towards the door where the defeated look turned to look at him one last time. Before I leave, may I ask a question or three? Why did you have to break me? Why was it necessary? If you had to leave, why couldn't you leave me with my dignity? I didn't wait for the answer. To be truthful, it didn't matter. I walked through the door, spent and emotionally drained. I vowed that I would never love anyone more than I love myself again. And that's what Mama Donna says.
No wonder you want to go ahead and chomp at the bit with this piece right here. This piece is right down the middle of what we're talking about, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that was off of a prompt in a room on the clubhouse. And as soon as I saw that, I woke up in an explosion, and that's what came out. This is not based on a true story, but this is just based on how you sometimes are holding on to a relationship to somebody that doesn't value you, that doesn't love you, that there's all kind of things. You're being loyal to them. You're loving them. You're doing everything you can to keep them. And
right.
then they tell you
right.
they're done.
Wow. Yeah, that was a real deep piece, Mama. That right there had actually took me through the, some of the ranges of triggered them of some past relationships, and it also showed me the other side of some relationships as well. That right there was really nice, Mama. Timely too, very timely.
Yeah,
you ain't
so
been
I
writing
got,
like that
I,
long,
I,
have you?
Let's see, when did I write this? I wrote this for me, which is a while back, you know, because it's been less than a year for me.
I know.
I wrote this September 9th. I wrote this September 9th.
Was that around the time when you were talking about branching out and doing some different things?
No, I know it's just I went to Anastasia's room, and I did the prompt, and I did that, and it started, and I expanded on it. I think I've only read it once or twice before. That's why it doesn't sound familiar to you.
Yeah, this is just got me looking now.
When I was scrolling, I said, oh, this would be perfect because this goes right up that alley because you asked me, did I ever write anything about relationships? Yeah, I wrote about relationships.
Right. You know, I was sitting up here looking for a piece and I was kind of like halfway listening to you. And then when I started hearing the depths and the level of it, I stopped looking for my piece. Yeah, that was really nice. That was really nice. And I cannot find the proper telephone.
Huh?
I can't find the proper telephone that would have my love pieces in it.
But the funny thing is, though, Jared, even though I've had relationships, I don't feel like I can write love pieces because I don't ever think I've had love. I've had infatuations. I don't think I've ever had love.
So you wouldn't even qualify the beginning parts of it as being that?
No, because people have to know me to understand what I'm saying. I've always been the follower in the relationship and never the initiator.
But most women don't want to initiate that type of thing. I know that things are changing now where the women go ahead and choose the guys, but it used to be that a man
even
would go ahead and choose the woman.
After I started getting to know a person, I never was an initiator. I tend to stand and go go along to get along.
Right. But you've changed quite a bit in the past year. Do you think that you would still follow that same routine if it was to happen upon you?
I don't know. I ain't going to test the waters. I don't know.
I got you. I got you. We have a caller in here that I want to go ahead and bring in.
Okay.
That would be 267. 267?
It's me.
Are you with us?
It's me. It's Danielle.
Who, me?
It's Danielle. Me. You can't hear me?
No, I can't.
Yes, I can hear you.
How you doing?
I'm doing. I'm trying to finish up my piece. I didn't expect you to open up my mic just now. But
you shouldn't raise your hand like that. You raise your hand if people call on you. The nerve of people.
Callers, you know, way ahead of me, and I would have time to finish, but it's full.
I tell you what I'm going to do for you then, sis. I'm going to ask you these questions, and we're going to chit-chat with you, and then we're going to let you finish up that piece, and then we're going to go ahead and get that piece out of you.
All right.
The question is, when is it enough? When do you get to the point where you just didn't had enough? And it has a two-part to it, too. When have you just had enough of relationships? Of a bad relationship. A lot of times it don't be bad the very first day, and then you're like, you know what? That's enough. You're like, what? We just had one argument. I'm not going to have any arguments out of you. It's enough. But the actual reality is it has to get to a certain point. What are the telltale signs, the flags that go ahead and tell you that, all right, this is enough, even for you? Because I know sometimes we have false starts where we say it's enough, and we really stay in there for a little bit longer. But when is it enough, Danielle?
For me, because I have a lot of patience. So I tend to take a lot. Red flags for me are dismissiveness, deflectiveness, keeping my feelings invalid. Making them seem like they're invalid. After I have tried countless times to express how certain things would make me feel at certain
points. What does it feel like to be invalid in a relationship then?
What does it feel like? It feels like, okay, so just imagine the person that you are with, you want to be with, says things to you to purposely hurt your feelings, purposely hurt you. Like, I'm going to give you an example of what happened in my marriage. One of the things that happened, because my husband was a narcissist, I started taking classes at Temple University. Me, in a certain mindset, he would say things to play on my mental, such as, I don't know why you're even trying or why you decided to take classes, because you have a very little mind and you're not going to accomplish anything. It's useless. Things like that would make me feel like it wasn't even worth trying. Why did I even consider doing that or trying to further myself? Or shit like, you know, I was an ugly woman. He would say stuff like, it takes a lot of courage. I love a bun. I love my hair up.
Right.
Because I think it's classic. It can go with anything. You can wear a trash bag and your hair would still go with it. He would say things like, it takes a lot of courage to wear your hair away from your face. Like,
oh, he was a real sly narcissist from the sounds of it.
Oh, yeah. Honey, I got stories for years, trust me. But it feels like that. That's what it feels like. Okay. And trying to
answer
the question.
Oh, go ahead, sis.
Can I ask a question? How long were you with him?
How long? Oh, God. I met him when I had just turned 17. And We got married when I turned 24, and I stayed married to him for 23 years.
Oh, so 30 years.
Long time, yeah. Because I came from a toxic family, and yeah, I suffered a lot of abuse at the hands of my family members, and I was not protected being a baby girl. So I didn't know any other lifestyle, any positive lifestyle, any positive people. I came from a very, very large family of like 12 kids, okay, and I was a baby girl. All of my relationships were toxic, every last one of them. So I didn't know this
were
side
you,
of life.
Do you think you were drawn to things in them that were toxic?
Absolutely, because that's all I knew. When you come from a place that is toxic and this is all you know, though it was very toxic, I was very sheltered from the outside world as well. So when I got out here, I started venturing out there on my own. That's all I knew. Anything positive was manipulated and made me feel like, okay, I'm gonna say it like this. If somebody in my family gave me something or acted like they were gifting me something, which would make me very happy, they would always come back later because their intentions were to take it away from me if I started feeling too happy about it. So
you would see it as an object to be manipulated by.
Kind words that were spoken to me were not true. They weren't sincere. They were used against me. So I didn't know any side of life that was good and positive to be true or real. It was all a manipulation for me. So I would get into negativity. I would get into a toxic relationship. I was drawn to toxic people because that's all I knew. And he isolated me, chased my friends away. He didn't chase them away, but they wouldn't come around because he was so manipulative. And he was almost like tyrannical. He would fuss if somebody came. One of my girlfriends came to see me more than once in a month. Oh, he would throw a temper tantrum. He never laid hands, but he didn't have to because that mental abuse, their verbal abuse, honey, them scars are just like, they never really healed them. And I was naive because I had no guidance. Everyone listened to the matriarch of the family, and that was the most toxic one. Not that my mother didn't love me, but she cared about money more so, which she had an abundance of. When you come up in a family where you're not financially, you feel like the material thing is more important. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I stayed with him for so long.
Definitely. That brings us to the second part of the question. When do you give up on a relationship that's like that?
When you give up is when you find yourself, when you recognize that you have completely lost yourself. So I would look in the mirror and wouldn't see myself. I would just see my kids and my husband, and that's what I was good for. That's it. And I got tired. I broke. I really broke. I wound up in the hospital behind a mental break. I was losing my eyesight and everything, literally.
Just from the stress and the pressure of being in a really toxic relationship like that?
Oh, yeah. It's a very real thing. I had what they call a bilateral papilledema, where I have a buildup of spinal fluid, and the pressure from it causes me to go blind because it puts so much pressure on the vessel behind my eyes.
So it'd be a real thing when a person say that they're going blind and it's from stress. It's actually physical things on the inside of them that's going on that's causing that to happen. What you're saying.
Honey, stress is number one killer, and it's a silent killer. You don't know it. You ignored certain signs. Like, I had a migraine every day, all day, for a whole year. Literally, I did not sleep. Because when you're young like that, you think you don't pay no mind to that stuff. You're going to live every day and do what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
when I went to go get treated for it, he came to the hospital and so asked me, was I doing it just to get attention?
Oh, wow.
That's like 12 inches long up in my spine, literally. I am horrified. And this is what he whispered to me. He knew he was a messed up individual. That's why he would whisper so nobody would know, you know. That's when I had enough. And I just started to become a little rebellious here and there. When I got fed up, that's when I packed up my babies and I left and went to go stay at a place I didn't want to be. I stayed at my mother's house. I didn't want to be there. But, you know, I didn't know any better. I didn't know where else to go. And my neighbors hated me because I was the married woman on the block. So, you know, it was a lose-lose situation.
Right. I guess that's some people looking on the outside in.
Yeah, my husband told me that I was too good to come and associate with them, and I'm really not like that. I will talk to a fly, I'm trying to tell you. An ant crawling on the ground. I'm very sociable.
Boy, I got some conversation. Let me get that ear.
Yeah, he manipulated people around us as well, but that's what they do.
Well, I tell you what, Danielle, we're going to set you back on the couch. Unless Mama Donna, do you have anything else for Danielle before we set her back on the couch? And we're going to give her time to go ahead and do her piece, and then we're going to bring her back up.
Nope, she answered all my questions.
Okay.
And I'm glad you were able to see your way out of it. And, yeah, getting rid of a narcissist is the hardest thing you could ever do.
I got a whole other story in my style for that, but that's another time. <You're right laughs> Yeah.
It's funny they say they don't need nobody. Well, Danielle, I tell you what, lower your hand, and when you raise your hand back up, I'll go ahead and bring you in for your piece. Okay. It don't have to be complete, 1,000%, but you know, I would like to go ahead and hear, especially after the conversation we just had.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you got another caller, just go ahead and let them in, and then I'll be done by the time that caller is finished. Okay?
They watching, Danielle. They don't want to go ahead and come in. They're watching.
they don't. All right, I'm going to put it down for 2 minutes. That's all I need, and then I'll
All right, sis. We'll see you in a minute.
Okay.
Oh, Donna, tonight has been... Gina, say something. It's going to make me go nuts.
Have you found the piece yet, Jerry?
I was up there. I got enthralled in the conversation. But here it is right here. I found it. At least I found the phone. All right. The name of this piece
Jerry,
is called...
The mic is yours.
All right. Pulling it up. And there it is. The name of this piece is called What is a Broken Heart? What is a broken heart? And what can a broken heart be likened to? A broken heart is like being crushed incessantly with no time frame, with no depth in sight, indefinitely. It's like a dark place with very little light. It pounds down till your head weighs pounds. You can look, speak, and listen, but your mind is incarcerated in a skin-deep prison of indecision. As tears and pills make collisions, and thoughts divisions, it's a death by a million incisions. Or it's like being bludgeoned purple over sour grapes. It's all spoiled milk that has long since curdled. You blame your weak legs for not holding tight to an ever-shrinking ledge. With a heart full of lead, afraid to live, can't even die. So I just lay awake on my back, broken, as I float in this oil-rich lake. I contemplate how many lifetimes will it take to stop the earthquake of ache. It's like being beat down while walking until you get lower and lower. Till knees touch shoulders and shoulders touch floor. As needles pierce your innermost person, from this fetal position, you envision. Wasted times and bad decisions as you feel your flesh open incision after incision. Please, please, I beg to bleed out. Poem.
And you know what? That's how it feels to break up if you... I think that's how it feels if somebody breaks up with you, not so much if you break up with somebody.
Yeah, I think that is more of an accurate description of it.
Yeah.
I was trying to tap it. Yeah.
Because when you break up with
them, the other person probably like, what the hell
that.
Going on with that person over there? They going through all them changes and all the rest of it. They better get out of here and get loose like I'm doing.
Right, but when they break up with you and you're not ready to break up with them, all the aches and angst and all that things that goes along with that, that's very apropos.
Yeah. That was a good idea, too. Danielle says she's finished with her poem. Should we believe her?
All right. She should know.
Let's get it. Is she
let's
right
get it in.
All right.
Yes. I'm bothered. I'm about as far as I'm gonna get in this piece because I was actually writing it like when the show started, because I didn't have any I ain't had no battery life on my phone. So I'm like, I can't get on here and sit. For one, I ain't got no battery life, and let me see if I can write something down real quick. I didn't know what the topic was or anything, but I said okay. But I started writing, haven't written in a while because I've been dealing with some stuff, but I got something.
I'll tell you what, with that being said. Oh, go ahead, Mama.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. When we met, he wanted to know what my favorite material was. Because he believes that when a person is most comfortable with touching their skin, it's healthy. When I told him that I love silk, he promised to speak to each caterpillar individually to tell them how important they are and how special I was, so that each thread would be spun with care. He then asked what one of my passions in life was, told him my poetry. He then recited, until the day I looked in eyes such as yours, I wasn't sure if I would find the existence of a love so amazing, true, and pure. I felt fast and hard, looking through rose-colored glasses at him. So I allowed him to keep me a secret until the day he broke my spirit by tossing my heart to the wind. That was when I lost my taste for kissing and the desire to be loved. Now, I don't want the world to see me. The thoughts of his voice echoes and lingers in my head as if he was sitting right beside me. My existence has become barren and dry like a wasteland. Just this huge flat covered in shattered pieces of broken heart. As I try to purge my emotions, it's an agonizing reality. So, stumble and fall if our paths cross. Please forgive me. That's just my clumsy heart. And that's that piece.
Ooh! Nah, you was really right there when you was doing this piece right here, Danielle. You were right there in the setting. You were right there in the time. It was like one or two times I heard you kind of crack and pull yourself out of it. But for the most part, you were right there in the moment. And that's what we try to go ahead and do to really get down into those different emotions of ours, of that time, of that moment, even though we might be happy or we might be sad now. Whatever that time of that poem comes, we have to go ahead and place ourselves there. And you did that with this one right here. That was nice. It made it so that we had to absorb it. It knocks the rough edges off of the content, which was down deep in there. I enjoyed this. What you think about this, Mama Donna?
I enjoyed it too. You know, and you said you wrote that since we opened up the show, or since you came on.
Yeah. Yeah, I was hoping by the time I was finished, I'd have enough battery life to get in and sit.
And you haven't written in a while, you said?
It's been, I usually write every day.
Oh, so you have slowed down in your writing. You have a very powerful pen, you know, and to craft that during the time of this show really tells me that you have a very powerful pen. And I did notice the cracks, you know, and especially when I think in combination of talking about your ex and then spitting out that piece, your emotions were sitting right there.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, you can let me know.
No, you're right. What it is, sometimes my thoughts of old experiences in life, they can bog me down. They can almost plague me, and I have to learn how to accept the fact that they are thoughts, and they're there, and it has happened, but sometimes those times take over and over and over in my mind, and it can really, like, get to me. I have to fall back. That's one of the reasons why I started writing the way my mind is, because I was made to shut down and be quiet about things, not being able to express myself. So when my thoughts hit me like that, and this is just a result of feeling like this the past week.
Yeah, I can understand that. So much, that's why I started writing. I've had so much built up inside that all the walls I thought I put up to protect each little memory that hurt me, they started crumbling, so I had to write about them.
Absolutely. I fully understand. And I'm pretty much a positive person, but sometimes, the devil can poke at you a little bit.
I find it's hard to maintain being positive when people are constantly shitting on you.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it all.
Because
that being positive sometimes is just a shield to protect you from people shitting on you. But it doesn't stop them from doing it.
Yeah, the shield don't work that well.
Because takers have no limits. That's why they keep doing.
But they say the shield was shitty.
Shitty shield.
That's a poem. That's a prompt.
But you know what? I've been blessed because I found my soul tribe. So. It isn't so much a recent thing, but, that pain, it comes in waves. And it could be, put at bay for years, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, here it comes. But, we've been equipped. Sometimes the waves get so high, man, you can feel yourself drowning. So, thank God for poetry, man.
Yes, thank God for poetry. And I think that's when I started writing, it's starting to open in my eyes and the depth of me and let me learn me. Because I didn't learn me. I didn't know me. And then I expected other people to understand me when I didn't understand myself.
Because you
get so beaten down by relationships and friendships and all kind of different things as you go on in life, that you start to sit up there and wall yourself away, and you don't even know yourself anymore.
You really are.
Right.
And it takes those in-depth pieces that you just did, like that one, to help you reach to who you really are.
Absolutely.
And we really appreciate you sharing that part with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you allowing me in to share it with you.
Yeah, we're going to have you ride shotgun with us, Danielle, if you don't mind. Or at least as long as you can go ahead and stay so we can go ahead and chop up some of these things about relationships and just have a good old time.
Sure, no problem. Well, I haven't been, you know, I ain't been on the radio in a little bit and kind of missed the first Erotic Love Zone of 2023. So, sure.
I was there. It was awesome.
And, you know, I missed it. I really missed it. I don't know what happened. That was one of the nights I actually was pulling back from everybody and everything because it's so much that has happened in my life. And recently it's been, you know, issues. And I just, whoo, child. I'm like, I can't talk to nobody right now. I really can't because I break easy. Very, very easy. My spirit doesn't get broken, but my physical form, it breaks.
I was about to say, because I didn't see you just run in the wall like it was nothing. And I'm like, look at that girl. She just laid out her ass.
But you know what they say, the flesh is weak. And we sometimes, I just, that part of me, sometimes I cannot fight. So I just release. I let it be. And it got to me, man. But I'm getting better now. I'm back, y'all. I can't.
We's all in the process of getting better. Ain't nobody completely well because of these shells that we got is imperfect.
That's for sure, because there's only one perfect being, and we're not it.
I know I ain't perfect, honey. Trust me.
We've tried, but, you know.
Man, I haven't blessed. But you know what? We wouldn't get anywhere in life. We wouldn't know anything if we didn't fall. We didn't have any kind of experience. We have to have. You gotta fall somewhere and get back up so you can go through that experience and get further. You don't go through anything in life. You won't go through anything in life.
Hey, that's true. Because I've been thinking about these old rich white, rich kids. I like, they ain't been through no adversity, no problems, no none of that type of stuff. And they're actually, it shows up in their personalities and their characters.
Oh yeah, it's horrible because they're self-centered, they're selfish, they're greedy and thoughtless. I have seen it so many times, and I'm like, and it's even worse now because we live in a narcissistic society that focuses and emphasizes on selfishness. It's all about me, me, my, I.
You can be more selfishness. If you can become Michael Jordan on your team, and be basically the team, you get rewarded for that. It's not somebody telling you, like, hey, you know, you got to pass the ball. I know you can put it in there, but you got to get the rest of the team involved. You better not talk like that no more. You'll be looking for a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. It's crazy. I was looking at a video earlier to their parents, and, yeah, it's them white folks. The things that they said, one boy got upset because he obviously was an asshole. He didn't get anything. He unplugged the tree, took it outside, took all the gifts outside, poured gasoline on them, and lit it on fire. And said somebody was hiding his gifts.
I'd have called people up and said, this one right here, bro.
This one girl, she had four, what do they call, macro books, them little computers. Said that her mother didn't get her, she said her mother didn't get her the right kind, and she needed some money to replace the one that she broke because she got upset at her mother because she didn't get her the right kind. And she wanted to set up a GoFundMe or something. Yeah, the other boy, he got upset because his father got him an iPhone 11 and he wanted an iPhone 12 for Christmas, and he cracked it up and put it in the microwave.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't be able to see
how bad this season got now.
And said,
well, it's a sense of entitlement. And that's because parents got it confused and get up and think they're supposed to give their child everything. But some things kids need to earn, you know, and they shouldn't be given everything, because when they grow up and become adults, they're going to learn real quick. Everything's not going to be handed to you. You have to work for it.
I think the parents overcompensate because the parents are like, I didn't have anything. So they try to get the kid everything, and it'd be just as bad as if they never had nothing, or worse.
No.
At least if they never love them.
They're not even trying to teach them empathy or sympathy or gratitude. They're not teaching their child anything. They're just giving their child everything, and that child when that child doesn't get exactly everything that they want, they act out. Unfortunately, I knew a man like that. I knew a man like that. My mother's husband was like that. He would say back in the day, he wanted the real player. She didn't get him the exact thing, so he would get drunk and scream and holler until she got so frustrated she would go back and get him the exact what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Get him a ride in the ambulance.
So when you were talking, about how you came from a family of dysfunction and relationships and stuff. I saw the relationships that were mirrored in front of me. So it doesn't surprise me that as I thought about it over the years, that I ended up in relationships similar to those.
Toxic.
No, the chaos of it, the fighting and back together and the screaming and hollering at us, each other in the public and, oh, yeah, I witnessed all of that. And then you try your best not to be that person, and then just something just comes out of you, which your past experience just comes up, and it's just like a cauldron that's now spilling over, and now you're acting like an ass.
Right. Yeah, everybody can go ahead, amen on that one.
you're so right.
Say less.
Oh, honey. I'm trying to tell you, I got stories for days. Like, the very first gift that I got my husband was a diamond earring because I'm very observant, and I noticed he had a little stud, a little gold ball in his ear. I said, okay, he got his ear pierced, so Christmas was coming about, and I said, ooh, I'm going to put some extra hours in at work. So I can buy this diamond for him, for his ear. I'm pretty sure, you know, he would like it. I didn't really know what he liked, but I took that into consideration. So put the extra hours in, and I went and I got him a very, very good quality diamond. And when I presented it to him on Christmas, he opened it up, he dropped the box on his bed, and he says, this kind of shit don't permeate. And I'm like, wow.
Ooh.
Okay. So you're not going to
see different.
Okay. And I'm like, even if that wasn't something that was quote unquote turned you on, I took into consideration and got you something. I had five days shit because it was our first year together. And we had only actually been together for a few months. Christmas was right around the corner because I met his ass in July. So the rest of the year wasn't too far away. Yeah. Okay, so I didn't buy him anything for a couple more years after that. I didn't.
So
give
I can
him
ask you a
shit.
Question?
Yeah.
So you were 17. How old was he when you met him?
Mm-hmm.
How did I know? I had a feeling he was at least 2 or 3 years older than you.
Oh, yeah. Young, I was young, naive, and excited that, because, you know, when you first meet a narcissist, they don't reveal the monster in them to you. They show that they are a superstar.
They love bombing.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And then they have that one time where a little bit of that monster comes out, like that thing with the gift. And like I said, because I was used to chaos, I just blew it off. But I made sure that the spiteful side of me, and it took me almost 3 years to buy him another gift. And,
I never brought my husband a gift. I treated him for his first year we were together. I got him a birthday gift.
On my birthday, he cursed me out, had an argument. He gave me misery. And I told him he will never get anything else from me again. And I never got him anything else.
I wish I'd have went that way, too. But I did wind up getting him something very, very nice. I don't know if any of you know about Philly, but there's a store that used to be called Boyd's. It was a men's shop, a very high-priced men's shop.
Oh, Lord.
Everything in there was tailor-made to fit. It was very, very, very nice men's clothing store. And I went and got him this terry cloth robe. I ain't going to tell y'all how much I paid for it, but my husband was an extremely large man, and y'all know the larger the fit, the more expensive. And then I got his initials embroidered on it there, so that was extra money added. And I got him a very, very large terry cloth beach towel because he was a large man. I got that embroidered too, and I got a very nice rag, all of it, which is his favorite color, burgundy, and I got his initials put on that too. So I paid a pretty penny out of my income tax for that. And he appreciated that, but he didn't get it for, like I said, almost 3 years. And then I saw that I would have to spend a certain amount of money on a certain quality of item to positive reaction out of them. And I didn't mind. I love gifting people. The better the quality, the more I love it. I'm a giver. But when you are ungrateful like that, you'll not get nothing. You'd be lucky to get anything out of me again. Yeah. But, you know, I didn't know any better. I just took the bullshit and the abuse, and I kept on giving and giving and giving, literally. And he had bragging rights while I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. And, oh, Jesus. Did somebody else talk? If y'all don't talk, I'm
going I kind of have a piece that goes along with a kind of a narcissistic personality.
Oh, let's get it. With that being said, Mama Donna, I ain't going to hand you the mic now. Mm-hmm. Gina, how you doing? You still with us?
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello. I'm
how
good.
How are you
doing? I'm bad.
Maybe I said it wrong.
All right, I got it.
All right. Mama Donna, the mic is yours.
It was all a dream. That's the title. It was all a dream. That is what I pray. Is this man standing here telling me you are part of the 4F Club? I stand there and endlessly ask him, what is that? He fixed his list to say, the find them, feel them, fuck them, and forget them club. How did I become a member to something I didn't even know exist? I stood there absorbing the blows. I wonder, how did I get here? What the fuck did I do to deserve this? What possessed him to speak those words to me, to throw those daggers into my heart, ripping my self-esteem asunder? Now it has reached the bottom. You were my first love. I gave you my body freely, and you threw it back at me. Why does everyone I love hurt and disappoint me? You told me, basically, I ain't shit. In fact, I'm less than shit. In that instance, I became worthless. Isn't this fucking rich? The weird thing, though, a fire has been lit in me. I decide I'm going to make you love me. The pattern has been laid for all my intimate relationships. I need you to see my worth. A desperation settles in my bones. I am more than just a fuck. I scheme in my mind, I am worthy, damn it. I am worthy. They did not pass my lips. I have been conditioned by years of emotional neglect to set aside my will to fight. So I revert back to what is normal for me. I put myself to the side because I didn't want him to believe. I'd rather have a little something than nothing. Desperation has set in. Once a fight has been deflated, I was broken. That signaled his complete domination. He would throw me a love bone, then snatch it back just as quickly. Like a starving dog, I fought to keep that bone, the bare minimum of his love. It wasn't love, though. It was control. I sit here reflecting on how the first love shaped me. A 15-year-old girl looking for love like the romance books. He shattered my innocence. He taught me a valuable lesson, a lesson that resonated throughout my adult years. I was unprepared for the reality. He was not my knight in shiny armor coming to whisk me away. This is not the Renaissance period. This is the urban jungle. He knew how to maintain his hold. I did not know how to let go. This was not a dream. That's what Mama Diamond says.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. For sure. I felt all that. Wow.
I felt you dragging through that piece. It was just like it was like oil. Loved it.
So, Donnell, so when I hear you talk about your husband and your...
You back in the Matrix again, Mama? Let me check and see if she dropped all the way out the gate.
I saw that.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Now we can.
Okay, yeah. It reminded me when you were talking, because this was my first love. And you did actually stand up there and tell me that was part of the 4F Club.
Club, Mama.
To find them, feel them, fuck them, and forget them.
He said that to your face?
Said it to my face.
You know, when a dude be petty, he ain't got to reach that far now.
And it was out of the blue. I don't know where it came from. And now that we've been in an argument, like nothing. He just came over to my house, and we were sitting down there talking, and he just said that to me. He just came to tell me that, and I never understood where it came from.
Let me play snitch right quick.
I'm
thinking that, I said, let me play snitch right quick, thinking that something else was grinding on him. Something else was grinding on him, and he threw that crap out there to go ahead and throw you off balance and try to go ahead and stand on your shoulders.
Well, years later, I kind of realized, Jared, maybe it was one of his other girlfriends pissed him off, and he came over here to, I was young, I was real naive, and he decided that, you know, hey, I'm going to take it all out on her.
Because mm-hmm.
mind you, if I'm part of the 4F Club, he never left me alone.
I bet he just learned that too. That's the other part about that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say this:
said,
it's gonna sound cool.
But that's what resonated me for the rest of my life through all relationships. So when I said I became the follower, I would not muddy the water because I don't know what reaction I would get from that person.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the mental violence is worse than any physical violence.
We should have
the mental stays with you the rest of your life. It's a hidden violence, and nobody knows. And those things are, and you can be going along in your life fine, and all of a sudden that memory pops back up.
What I'm talking about, I had to fall back, gather myself, because, honey, them thoughts will come at you, and like I said, they will plague me. It's disgusting how we can't get rid of them. Thoughts are inferior. There's nothing we can really do about them. And some are easier to dismiss than others, but that abuse, that mental abuse that is put on you, that is like everywhere, like eternal. and it's horrible to have to contend with that. Like I said, there are things that I let go of and I made peace with and I didn't get angry about for years. And then, boom, all of a sudden, here come them thoughts. I'm like, what? Why?
The fall. Yeah.
Where did it come
why?
From? You know, it's crazy. Even people, other relationships that I had, and I'm not talking about just romantic relationships. I'm talking about women that I have friended throughout the years and have had, and they had a deep-rooted jealousy that I knew nothing about. People will put you in competitions you don't know shit about. And
all the time.
You would. You would. I won what?
Like when you,
I was in competition, I didn't even know I won first prize. First prize.
Yeah, when you can't, when they can't get you to continue to conform to what they want, or you to follow their narrative or fit their narrative, that's when their little monsters start coming out. And now they are dead set on destroying you. And there are two women that
and they like to put you in the box.
Oh man!
And when you live up to that image, they get very jealous and they want to take it out on you.
Oh yeah! And see, the main thing that a narcissist needs is for you to feed and help them. When you don't help them, you don't feed into their little whatever it is. Their little insecurities. The narcissists are very, very insecure. They have an ego that keeps them the fuck up inside. They make you feel like you are the worst person in the world. That's when the gaslighting comes in. And they rub you. I mean, they drag your name through the mud. And they try to embarrass you every chance they get and make it seem like you crazy. You cannot get a narcissist to stop. You have to get away from them because they don't know how to stop. They know they're doing wrong, but in their mind, it's telling them, I have to blame this on something. I have to find something to put this on. I cannot take responsibility for this shit. Even though I'm causing the problem, I am the problem. I can't take credit for this. I have to make a person feel like shit in order for me to save face. Because what you see, what they present to you is all a facade. They are the most insecure people. They constantly need out of validation. It's just insanity with them, and they try to make you seem like you cuckoo for cocoa puff. The only way you can get revenge if you seek it on a narcissist is to completely cut them off. Because guess what? To this day, now it's been about 13 years since I've dealt with those two females. They still send little messages to try and get back in my world. Like my kids. My daughter works in retail, and they will come from their neighborhood all the way over here and tell my daughter, here, give your mom my number and tell her to call me. Tell her I love her and this and that. No, you don't, bitch. I tell my kids, don't give me no more messages. Please don't relay none of that. You can be courteous. You can be respectful because they are older than you. But throw that shit in the trash. Don't even let on that your mother doesn't want to be bothered with that. Because if you do, then I might wind up in jail because they're going to come at you. And I'm just not having that. That's the only way you can get a narcissist away from you, is if you stay away from them. If they coming up the street,
and you have to put a clear cut boundaries as well. You have to put up clear-cut boundaries as well. There's things, if they go ahead and cross these lines, then you automatically, this thing automatically implements and cuts you off in some type of way or cut you off from that path that you're heading on. There can be no wishy-washiness in it because they're looking for the wishy-washiness to be in it. If the wishy-washiness is in it, they know that you're not dedicated to it. But if it's a clear set boundary, you can't make them do what you want them to do, but you can at least stop them from doing things to you that you don't want them to do to you.
Absolutely. And they're relentless in their pursuit. They do not give up. Like I said, it's been about 13 years, and these women still deliver little messages and try to get to me. And I'm like, no, not going to happen. Because a narcissist makes you want to become a sniper across the street from their house, literally.
Allegedly.
Literally, not allegedly.
Allegedly.
I wanted to kill. Let me tell you, I'm going to leave that alone. But anyway, they're sick individuals. They really are. And it's no cure for them. There ain't no help for them. I don't even believe they know what love is. Really, I can't even imagine being a offspring of that, growing up in a house with a narcissist. Child, I've heard some stories.
All right, we got a poet in here that's going to give us a piece. I'm going to go ahead. Hold on one second. Let me go ahead and play it up in here. Let me go ahead and see if I can do a little something up in here. This ain't the one.
Welcome to Raw with Rain at Epiphany Radio.
Hello.
Hey, Gina, where you at?
I thought you were bringing a poet in. Who were you bringing in? Was that Gina?
Look, from one, I don't know what that drop was that you played. And two, this is in fact Epiphany Radio. And three, what?
You know what I thought it was? I thought because I heard the storm that he was bringing you in, but I ain't expecting to play that old snippet.
Honestly, that meant two of us. Like, that's where I was.
Okay.
Well, to be truthful, that was
not
three of us because I didn't know what that was either. It sounded like, it didn't even sound like white noise. It sounded like noise, just plain noise, period.
Oh, it was a hell of a drop. It was just at the wrong time.
Look, I thought it was thunder, and I was like, "Is this at my cue? Is it my turn to talk?"
And rain sounded like a storm, so why I thought, okay, well, Venus is right fit. Then this is her introduction.
Okay, I'm next. Look, play less. I'm knowing. Oh, it was hilarious. Oh, can't nobody do this but just Jay. So Jay, I want to thank you for being you. Every time that you do what you do, I feel
it's
like I'm just being me.
Nah, Pastor Bell, how's everything been going with you? We appreciate you soldiering this out for us too.
Okay, so I'm gonna start here, and I don't know where I'm in, but the reality is, like, sometimes your real life is playing to what you're actually doing online. My daughter is in a whole relationship with a dude that don't understand the math on the relationship that he's in. And he be trying to tell me on her. Ooh, and I need y'all to understand how I'm set up. Okay, so I'm going to tell you one thing for sure and two things for certain. If my baby didn't say nothing to me, it ain't nothing to talk about. So if you hitting me because you want to tell on her to me, good luck with that. I didn't just meet her. I know her. So you're going to take her or leave her the way that she is, because she's not going to change for you or any situation that will be conducive to you. Because she doing what? Her. So since that's where we're at, and that's what happened while I was waiting to see what y'all was going to be doing next, all I could say was, oh, my God. This is about to be a whole thing. That's where I'm at.
Hey, whenever you're ready for it, the mic is yours.
Okay, so I'm going to freestyle this one. I didn't write nothing, y'all. I was talking to Jay about this the other day because I saw a mug that said, we should be the girls that are cinnamon and spice and everything nice, but we're actually sage and hood because we wish a nigga would. So I'm telling my freestyle, I wish a nigga would. I wish a nigga would. I don't care if you're black, white, or Hispanic or other. Nah, you can be Asian. I don't give another thought or anything inside of my person or my spirit will allow me to give single iota, not even get chance of a fuck about your feelings. So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm being a realist. I only care about the one child that I gave birth to who was alive and the three children that she birthed as well. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm good. And I'm not saying the rest of y'all can go to hell. I'm just saying to a much lesser degree is why I care about all of the rest of people. They are my everything. So when this crazy MF decided that be in his interest at best to have a conversation with me in regards to the child that I gave birth to, like I mentioned to y'all previously. And, oh, let me run the math on that one time. I've been pregnant 5 times. No, take that back. 4 times with 5 children on my birth. The only child that I ever gave birth to who was here breathing on earth is in the other room. And I told her that I would actually lay down my life for her or kill someone if it benefited her. Like, honestly, I don't give a fuck. That is my child. And the famous three, they're her offspring. So they are all part of me. Same lineage, bloodline, you know I'm talking about, DNA. Yeah. So the reality is this. I don't care who their daddy or their stepfather is. Anybody that wants to date my shorty or think that he is big enough to wear those breeches, if you're not doing anything to benefit my only child, then you're hindering her, sir. Now I got to act reckless and wild. I got to pick up my microphone and not give a fuck about what I say because I didn't write this down. I'm giving it to you off the dome. You can kick rock, fall off the side of a cliff and drop to your demise. Jump off the side of a bridge. I don't care which one. I live in Joliet. We have several. Pick one, kid. The reality is I don't care none about you. Nobody that looks like you. Nobody with your last name or in the people that you came from, boo. I need you to know one thing. If you don't know nothing else, do not mess with my child or my grandchildren because that would incur my wrath because I'm not Jenna Ladybug. I'm not Jenna Butterfly. I am Jenna Storm. I choose violence. 187 is my nickname, and I need you to understand this. It's not just something that people say. No. I will not stop until you pass away. Your mama going to be wearing a black dress. They're going to be walking slow and singing. I don't know where you're going to have your last whatever at, but I need you to understand the meaning. I will be the reason why you no longer breathe. I will shut you down like I did anything in my life that was not benefiting me. This right here, sir, because my daughter left the situation that she was in with these children, birth, and I'm now 53 and have been to December 23rd. Now it's 2023. Guess what? Ooh, it's my year. I'm doing me. I don't give a fuck about you. So if you die and be left somewhere stinking, nobody found your body, so they don't know where you were. So I'm not going to be arrested because I'm just going to say this. It's just conversation. This is simply poetry. Don't ever think for one reason. If such and such goes missing or their body cannot be found, that has anything to do with me. I'm not wearing a red nose or red floppy shoes or a rainbow wig. I'm not a clown. I'm not a peasant. I'm royalty. And you try to do something with my lineage that was beneath them. I don't know how it'd be in your family, but understand this about me. I fight. I'm ambidextrous. So you can get the right hook or the left undercut, but however it has to be, if you die, you die. And if you live, then it was God's will. Whatever the case may be, I'm not the one. And today and today.
Today and today, I'm not the one. Okay.
All right, not killing.
All right, 187.
You might want some later.
I just want to call you 187.
187.
You know what? It's better that I say these things and I use it in poetic form, because if I did it in actual, like, real time right now, y'all would hear sirens. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I am not playing.
They going to get us. Oh, those sirens getting mighty close. Oh, they're stopping in front of the house.
I was like, oh, my God. Have I been arrested? Can I finish my drink, though? Do I need to put this out or can I continue to smoke it? I just need to ask.
Right.
I'm doing
one hard. Way can make it real easy for you guys. Another way can make it really hard.
Right. How strong are you feeling right now? Because you need to be strong. You're trying to fight me. Because this is next level. Oh, yeah. I've been doing this for a long time. This ain't new. But, yeah. I had to get that off me. And it's better that I write the wrong or freestyle the wrong than actually set it straight. Because if I actually had to put hand or foot to ass, yeah. I can't even say the rest. Y'all know.
Let me go ahead and say this. If you were not listening, if you were not called in 28 minutes ago, you don't even hear this, what I'm saying.
That part.
Yeah, I'm about to get better with that one. That's a little bit of time delay there.
That's okay. But I love y'all, and this has been honestly, if I ever needed something to help me get over the hump, because I mean, you'd be like, oh, my God, am I stuck here? Oh, no. I have options. I utilize my options. Oh, yeah, that part. I utilize my options, and I'm good. I feel so much better. That was terrible.
No good. I'm glad you got that off the text.
Oh, yeah. Fuck him. Up against the wall with Kool-Aid on his eyes and my mouth.
Well,
can't kill nobody. I don't actually
if we
care.
Were in,
I am at the Gina, point in my life that, ooh, wow.
Gina,
yes,
if we were integral in stopping a missing person from happening, we are glad to help. Because
yes.
I don't want
to
ever be on your bad side. Okay.
Dude, I need y'all, like, for real. You don't even understand the math on this. Like, this is not just conversation. It would be a whole situation. Yes, thank you.
All right, as long as we doing a service for the people.
You have. Lives have been
saving.
Yep.
We're saving
at
one boyfriend at a time.
One boyfriend.
All right.
Nobody care about the same world, but okay. Yeah.
When it gets to that point, I normally say, yep, y'all done dated now.
There you go.
Yep.
We won. Yep. Say
we're saving them one boyfriend at a time. I don't know what makes him think complain to his girlfriend mother is supposed to do.
Right.
It don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. You gave birth to
her.
Man. So what were you supposed to do?
If I could care about your life, I wouldn't. Like, really, I can't care nothing about your life. This life right here and the lives that she brought to me, that's all my whole concern. You honestly are so removed from the conversation that I can't believe that you're talking to me. But we different. So, yeah, let's go.
Right.
Look, Mama Donna said, you've been gaslighted. I didn't even know what that actually meant. And then she gave what had happened to me a name. And now this is the reality that happens when you're in a relationship with a narcissist. Because he wasn't listening to me when I was talking to him. He was listening to respond. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're at an impasse. So maybe you don't know this, but your relationship just ended.
Yeah, you know, you have to be careful with people when they're trying to, and you're trying to let them know what you're thinking and you're feeling. And they, my husband did that mess to me one time. I was upset, and I'm not a crier, but I was crying. So he told me I was making him sad. So where was that empathy for me?
What he said had nothing to do with you. He was concerned about himself, and I get that.
Right.
But you have to understand that it takes a long time sometimes for the light bulb to come on and for you to see. This has so little to do with me and everything to do with you that I didn't even realize that you weren't even factoring me into the scenario.
Right.
So.
And that's where the gaslighting comes in. Because they have you thinking
you
you're
know,
the problem
like I
that
said,
you
know.
And they'll have you thinking that you're the problem, and maybe if you start doing things differently and all you're trying to do is get him to understand who you are or her to understand who you are, because narcissists are females too, you just don't really know it. And they'll be gaslighting you. Because gaslighting is basically lighting you up and making you believe something that is not true. Until you finally realize and you get away from the situation, you start to see it realistically, that's when you finally realize you had enough of them.
Right. I was doing everything right. You were doing you. And I was allowing it, and then I got treated badly. You can't be mad at the other person, even though you might be mad at the other person. The reality is what you allow will continue.
Well, that's what I used to say. You know, people, I understood when you said, if I brought it to somebody else, then I know it was going to be at an end. The thing with me is I would talk to other people. But my thing was just here, I would say, but I'm not with them. He's my asshole until I'm done with that asshole. There's nothing you can say to me.
No. Mm-mm. That's an individual thing. That's not a us thing. That's a me thing. When I have had enough, then it will be over. But until then, I hear what you're saying and I understand why you're saying it. But I got to get through it. And that's it. You're either going to accept it or you're going to be hurt by it.
And some people, luckily I have friends that understood me, because I said, once I'm done, I'm done. But I got to get there, not when you want me to get there, but when I need to get there. Because if I follow your direction, it's not ending because I wanted it to end. And I'll be forever wondering. But if I end it.
I changed people's name on my phone to stuff like, nigga, please, or nope. So when they call or text me, even though they're on the block list, it'll still show up in my caller ID, but it just didn't come through because they're blocked. But the reality is sometimes those people still reach out. Like years have gone by, and they're still trying to contact me. I don't know what part of I'm done with you. You don't understand, but like I'm not coming back. Like this,
you don't
we're
know,
done.
Gina, you don't know. You could have changed your mind.
I never do. I
you
never have.
Got, you could have got.
I'm
older
not built
people.
For that.
You could have got older people.
No.
Might not remember. You might have forgot how they acted.
I don't care. Whatever it is that made me change that to your name still exists. So I'ma holler at you. Bye-bye. Bye now. Carry on.
I used to have a ringtone.
Bless you.
I used to have a
ringtone.
I used to have a ringtone, especially for my husband. Hell no. Nah, nah, nah.
Right. Mine is, try Jesus, not me, I fight. I'm just saying.
So if the phone rang, I knew it was him because he'd be saying hell no to the no, no, no.
You got to know who you are and where you stand with people, yes. Like I said, ringtones in my life are everything. Like when a person's call goes to voicemail, I'm thinking, I don't even have to look at my phone. I know who that is. You play too much, no.
Jared, you still there?
Oh.
Definitely
not. He been gone for a minute.
No, I was listening.
Oh, that was, no,
am I not entitled to listen?
You
I mean, that is a part of my job.
Right.
Well, part of my job.
You were doing
listen.
Something. You weren't listening. You were doing something. You probably over there doing
listening.
That AI stuff.
Yeah.
You got over there doing the AI.
When was the last time
no.
Listened?
No.
I'd like to make accusations.
You can
no,
say
I'm
that to someone
that.
Else, but we know you.
Y'all don't know that. Y'all missed it this time.
Whatever.
Man.
We were good. We,
right,
put
we better
ball
go ahead and wrap this up.
Look at,
I don't
like
know
I
if
said,
people
we
have been
good.
Waiting
we
in line and they want to raise their hand or something, but we about to get ready to go ahead and wrap up the show.
Oh, yeah, because you just to get your look on. But if you would like to be part of the conversation, by all means, press that 1 and join the conversation. And if not, please know that Jared's going to land this plane and we're going to be in the co-pilot and the co-pilot's co-pilot seat in the cockpit, making sure that we land on time. That part.
Yeah, this show has been this show's been different and special. We're going to start getting into some different things down the line. We just got to start implementing them. This wasn't the best week for me or Gina, so we just came in and just wanted to go ahead and kick it with you poets.
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk to you poets about some practical, something that can pop up in your poetry.
Appreciate y'all because I got my whole voice back and it had been gone for a minute.
Well, that's I'm glad to hear you back.
Yay.
Well, this is the For Real Network. Raw links. Get your raw links. I got to get myself, me and my wife, measured for our raw links. But I can't wait to go ahead and stick it in the faces and the rest of that type of stuff. Cause that's the type of guy I am.
Oh, absolutely.
I got
it's one of those
like
things
that.
Like I felt like I had just won a lottery. I was like, look at me, I'm bougie.
In your
I put
face.
My raw links alone.
In
I was
your
like, you can't tell me
face.
This. I'm not ordinary, I'm raw.
Exactly. Why be ordinary?
I can't be. I got to be extraordinary. So I put my raw links on. I was like, ooh, look at me winning.
All right. So go ahead and commemorate this night tonight. I'm going to go ahead and play this song so we can go ahead and talk through it. If it's something that makes us want to go ahead and say, like, I heard that, or whatever it may be. Or D.
Hey.
I can't wait to get to school each day.